Now, shall we read the chapter that's for our consideration being Revelation chapter 18. And reading from verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunken of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plague. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones, and of pearls, and of fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet, and all fine wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men, and the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which are made rich by her, shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple, and scarlet, and decked with gold, and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads, and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For thy sorceries, by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now, before getting down to detail of chapter 18, I think my brethren will allow me to take a look at the section that is before us in our four Bible readings. Our brother West in the later Bible reading will have that delightful task of letting us see the delight of heaven's attention, the bride, the Lamb's wife. It has been the burdensome task for our brother Alan and myself to view the harlot in all her ugliness. But the next chapter will show what heaven is working to. That scene when presented to himself, a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, clean and white, the Lord will take to himself, amidst heaven's celebrations, the true church of Christ. Chapter 17 and 18, to my mind, is dealing with the counterfeit of the true church. At the time of these happenings, the true church of Christ will be raptured to scenes above. For you will notice that in the Revelation, the church is not referred to between chapter 4 when heaven opens to receive the saints, and chapter 19 when they're seen in his presence above and heaven opens again for the manifestation of Christ. And amidst all those scenes of turmoil and tribulation on earth, the true church of Christ is not once mentioned. And in chapter 17 and 18, we have the counterfeit of Satan. And as we go down our chapter, I want you to notice the relationship of this system with earth. For you will notice that all her position, all her possessions are linked with earth and are material. Just as I was reading down the chapter, you'll notice that it took all the mariners and merchants of earth to supply the needs of this counterfeit of Satan. And the only thing of spiritual value that is linked with her are the souls of men that she has lured on to their eternal destruction. Note, please, that the abominations of earth are mentioned. Notice that the kings of the earth have a relationship with her. Notice that the merchants of the earth are enriched by her. And notice even that she reigneth over the kings of the earth. That is, all that she possesses is linked to earth and is to come under the judgment of God with her. Now, you would immediately turn your attention to the glories that belong to the true church. For as John views the true church, he views her as a city that came down from God out of heaven. Something that originated in the plan of God. Something that is heavenly in character, and something that is heavenly in her destiny. Could I link again the habitation of God by the Spirit? And could I see this false system as a habitation of demons and of every foul spirit? That is her close relationship with her. Then we will notice that she is to be the object of heaven's retribution. The only thing that reached up to heaven belonging to this false system. Should I stop now and make myself clear? This false system is that which is left on earth claiming the name of Christianity. And yet, in our section, we will notice manifestly more pagan in character. It's the false church, the counterfeit of Satan, headed up, doubtless, in the Romish system. And all who have been lured into her snare, corrupted by her doctrine, and defiled by her influences. Did you notice that God has remembered her iniquities? If you think of her sins reaching up to heaven, you could think of the original Tower of Babel and the built it towards heaven. And here she's building up her sins. And they're against heaven. And God has remembered her iniquities. God has not forgotten the bloody Inquisition. God remembers that 70,000 and one day was slain in the days of the Inquisition. It has been noted that possibly 50 million Christians have been put to violent death in this present age by this dreadful system that claims the name of Christ. And in the closing verse that we read, were found in her the blood of prophets and of saints. Now, quite simply, I look on the prophets as those that have spoken for God, and the saints that have lived for God, and their blood is found in this system when God finally judges her and puts her out of sight forever. Now, a difficulty may arise. At the close of chapter 17, we notice that it was the beast and his 10 kings in association with him that destroyed that system. And here the judgment is attributed to God himself. Well, you remember the night that Belshazzar was slain, and faithful Daniel come in, and he reminded Belshazzar that God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. And in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Who slew him? Was it not the Mede? And yet the judgment that was executed was the judgment of God upon that rebel and that blasphemer against God. So in our chapter, we notice that strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And indeed, in chapter 19, our brother West will not mind me referring to, verse number 3, and again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. This judgment will fall upon her in this sea and rob her of her power and her wealth and put her down never to rise again. But you will notice that judgment is an eternal judgment. Now, we will notice the reaction of earth to the overthrow of this system. I tried to link on Saturday the corruption of the system with the parable in chapter 13 of Matthew of the leaven that was hidden in the meal until the whole lump was leavened. And to my understanding, this is the whole lump leaven. There's nothing for God in it. It's totally apostate. In chapter 18, I could bring in the parable of the mustard seed that grew into a tree of phenomenal growth to take its place among the world's power. And I see her here reigning over the kings of the earth. Abraham Lincoln, he found it well nigh impossible to rule and yet reject the tyranny of the system, and he found it impossible to hold on to his life. The influence of this dreadful system among the kings of the earth. You'll notice that it's with them that she commits her fornication, that is, corrupting monarchs and intoxicating nations. Oh, we'll notice that she goes to excess in doing that and enriching the merchants of earth, lording over the nations of earth. I think that's what you have here, her relationship with this earth. And when this mighty financial, commercial institution, for all her possessions, her earthly and material, is crashed, it will have vibrations among the nations of earth, and among the merchants, and among the mariners. Now, we'll take a look at her relationship with God's people. Did you notice that the call is, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plagues? Could you imagine a virgin bride in her purity finding any fellowship with a corrupt harlot and her association? I looked at a paper some time ago, and it was titled The Christian Churches, An Exercise in Mutual Understanding and Cooperation. And I feel that even some Christians were drawn to that. Mutual understanding and cooperation between a virgin bride and a corrupt harlot system. What is the call of heaven? Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it may have an idolatrous background. The Timothy, it's doctrinal error, and it's there to withdraw herself. And here God would have those that he has espoused to his son as a chaste virgin, preserved from the defilement and corruption of a religious system that is developing around us, and even her character already being manifested. Now, we come to a point. I hope my brethren, I haven't heard many amens from behind me, but I hope they're bearing with me. I want you to notice that it is the same system that is seen in chapter 17 that is carried into chapter 18. Only two different symbols are used. Now that is a feature that's quite common to the Revelation as a book. You'll notice that in chapter 5, the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. And John said, I turned and I saw a lamb newly slain. Is that not Christ? The great dragon, that serpent, the devil, a dragon in his cruelty, a serpent in his deceit. Indeed, some of us would be quite happy to see the 24 elders and the four living creatures as symbolical of the same company of people. But that's not in our Bible reading, so our brethren are not allowed to comment on that. In chapter 21, John gets a call, and you'll notice that he's not called now to a wilderness scene. He's called to a high mountain. And I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. How was it revealed to you, John? He showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now talk to any of your architect friends and try and convince them that that is a literal city. But you notice that it's the true, holy, spiritual Jerusalem. That is the true religion, shall we put it that way. Now, in this chapter, in chapter 17 and 18, we have been asked to see not a bride, pure and white, but a harlot with all her corruption. And we're asked now to see, to my mind, the same system as a city. And kindly notice that as the chapter would develop, the apostle, he goes back and he catches the thought of the harlot again. Verse number 3, committed fornication with her. Now that must be under the figure of the harlot, and yet he's dealing with the city. Verse number 9, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication and lived deliciously. We're thinking of the harlot again. And then, when the overthrow is completed, and you notice it brings dismay upon earth, but it brings delight to heaven. And the delight of heaven is expressed. He hath judged the great whore. Back to the figure of the whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Now, I think I should nearly come to a concluding in my opening, but I would like us to take a look at the system in her relationship with earth. I would like to take a look at the system with its retribution from heaven. And I'd like to see the response of earth. That far-reaching effect when this mighty financial material structure is confiscated, and we learn that it's confiscated by the beast and his associates, even though it seemed to be the judgment of God. The relationship of saints. Now, you will notice that I'm blessed with having a company of brethren on the platform today. And you could only describe them as very pleasant, agreeable brethren. Now, I know the company would be very disappointed if controversy marked our reading. I have been told that I have the most controversial chapter of any of the four. Now, I don't believe that. And I trust that when our reading is over, we'll be brought into the Spirit of heaven. And as we think of this system that has brought such dishonor to the name of Christ, such persecution and injury to the saints of Christ, and such destruction and deceit to the souls of men, God brings out the bride in all her beauty and the supremacy of Christ. I hope the result of our consideration this afternoon will result in bringing us into harmony with the very atmosphere of heaven. Did you notice that this is the first hallelujah in your New Testament? And I trust that praises will rise from our company as to the power and wisdom of God displayed in these portions. Now, there are brethren on the platform, and I'll be looking to them for their help, and indeed in the body of the hall, if you see me getting it very tight, just come in and say that I'm right. Now, I didn't think it was Christ himself, because I don't think he would just be termed in the term of another angel. But whether this angel that came with a revelation to John, or came to execute judgment, that would be a point we'd have to decide on. But certainly the revelation that John got here, he could only get from heaven, and it was an angel that brought the revelation to him. I don't think I would go any further than that at the moment.
Keeping in the first verse, Brother Sam, would you explain to us the significance of the expression after these things?
I rather thought now that it was a development in divine revelation rather than a development in the historical or in the actual happenings.
Does it not suggest to us that here is another aspect of the judgment that God would bring upon Babylon? There has been dealt out a judgment of chapter 17, but now there is another aspect to that judgment of the same thing that has its root in Babylon.
In chapter 17, we're merely told of the overthrow of the system by the beast and his associates. In this chapter, it's brought out in more detail, and it's showing that whilst God used human instruments to execute his judgment, it was really the judgment of God that came upon that system.
I would submit that in chapter 18 it's God who judges the system, which is before us. But as God used the men, we are plainly told that in chapter 17, which suggests to my mind different judgment at different times by different agents, and the response on earth is different. I cannot imagine that the men who dealt with the harlot would stand back and mourn in chapter 18.
No, I don't think it's the 10 kings now that stand back and mourn. I think it's the nations of the earth. And this beast and his associates will confiscate the system. And this will bring dismay throughout the nations of the earth. But I think it's the nations of the earth in a much broader sense that will be dismayed and distressed by the action of the beast and his associates.
In the 70th week, would in your judgment this judgment of Babylon by God take place as in chapter 18?
It could be in association with the beast when he sets himself up as an object of worship. But just to time it in the week, I would not be as precise as some of our brethren on Saturday. It's not that I'm
in chapter 18.
It could be in association with the beast when he sets himself up as an object of worship. But just to time it in the week, I would not be as precise as some of our brethren on Saturday. It's not that I'm in disagreement with them, but I wouldn't be as precise. But you'll notice that finally the beast will set himself up and blaspheme God.
Could I please just point out, following on from what our brother Alan has said, that if we come to the opening verse of chapter 19, we now again have this characteristic expression, after these things. And can I submit, therefore, that since it was suggested on Saturday that what transpired in chapter 17 takes place in the middle of the 70th week, what we have in chapter 18 occurs at the end of the 70th week prior to the coming of Messiah.
Could I ask Brother Ferguson, having listened attentively to your detailed opening, that as you view in chapter 18 the habitation of demons in contrast with the habitation of God in the Spirit, the harlot in contrast with the divine, corrupt and the positive Christianity in contrast with true Christianity, and see God's judgment being brought upon them, how can we bring that into chapter 18, which is more distinctly a judgment upon a political and commercial system? That is, on Saturday, even there wasn't unanimity of mind as to what was meant by Babylon. There was unanimity of mind in judgment that from a religious standpoint, it was judged in the middle of the 70th week, and that it was put out of existence from a religious standpoint, the beast becoming the object of worship and through him the worship going to the devil. I noticed in your opening that you didn't so much come down to deal with the commercial side of things here.
I thought I did, brother, and carried with me throughout the chapter the jewel symbolism of both harlot and city. You'll notice that she corrupts the kings. She intoxicates the nations. That is, corrupting worldly power and deceiving the nations of men. And right down the chapter, he holds on to the symbol of the harlot. And even when this doom is completed and the judgment of God is completed, the delight of heaven is that he hath judged the great whore. And I think to recognize the true character of this religious institution, we must see it as earthly, material, All her possessions are material. In fact, I should have noticed that it's the only occasion in your New Testament that you get instrumental music associated with church order, and it's linked with this false, hateful system. And brethren, I think we should leave it there just. But that's in passing. We hold on to the symbol of the harlot throughout this chapter, and we link it with the city, showing that the same system is corrupt in character, and yet in wealth, materially, she has it in abundance. It's alone known to God, the billions of wealth, the influence commercially that this dreadful system has upon this present world. And I think you have to carry both right through this chapter.
But may I put it another way, Brother Sam, that the city has a harlot character.
Yes.
Would that not be correct?
Yes, and the harlot has a city character.
The symbol is used in chapter 17 of a woman, and we are told the woman is that city. In other words, the symbol represents a reality. Now, I find it very difficult to see in the New Testament or in Revelation where a symbol can become the symbol of another symbol. It's a symbol of a reality. So that the system, the woman, becomes a symbol of a city.
Well, I would say that on the other side, that John is brought to see the bride, the Lamb's wife, and he turns round and he sees a city, that holy city, and it's termed Jerusalem because it's of God and originated with God, and in the spiritual sense, the true Jerusalem. And this is the false system, and he goes back to get his title for it, and it goes back to that false religion that was introduced in your early chapters of the Bible. It's false in its origin, it's corrupt in its character, and its doom is settled. And if we go back to Revelation chapter 2, I gave her space to repent, and she repented not. This system is not going to turn.
Ask you, Mr. Ferguson, here. In verse 1 again, after these things, if you don't see a time difference between the judgment of the harlot by the kings and the beast then in control politically over a period of time, why is there a need for another angel?
I think it's a development in the revelation that's given to John.
You don't see that another angel would really be another type of the message.
Well, it is.
The cup of the wine of the fierceness of the wrath in chapter 16.
Give us your verse now, brother. That's when Babylon would come up for remembrance before him. Is that it? 19, yes.
Where does that time factor come in?
I don't think that the book is written in a chronological order, but it's reminding us that when God executes judgment upon earth, that this system will not be overlooked in the judgment of God. And I take it that all her past and all her crime and all her blood that she has shed has come up before heaven, and God remembers it, and we will notice that the retribution will be according to her guilt.
I think we are totally wrong in trying to bring it back to the earlier stages of the tribulation. Because not until all the bones are empty does this matter arise. So that in the execution of God's judgment, in that fierce way that will characterize the close of the week, comes into view the destruction of this terrible system. That's why the angel has is linked with the bow in chapter 7, 8. Now I think we should be clear about that. The point that we needn't maybe be too dogmatic about is, as great legal stress has been laid upon, is there a difference between the burning of the city by the kings and the burning her with fire by God? Now I judge there are two things in our chapter which we won't agree about, but I'll mention them and you can think them over someday when you have a quieter mind. And that is this, that there's the fall of Babylon, which I distinguish from her destruction. And when she's fell, she becomes the habitation of demons. When she's completely destroyed, there'll be no demons in her. I hope you heard clear on that. That is, she's humiliated first. And possibly that will be done by the king. And then she'll wipe her completely, like a stone thrown into water, by the judgment of Almighty God.
Mr. Burton, I would like to ask my good position. Shame concerning the falling. Will you in any way connect that with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, except it from a positive 19 person? Won't that largely be seen in the system of Eve? Is that in your mind?
My mind is that the system gets worse until it ripens for judgment. And once it's humiliated, it's just a habitation of things.
What I'm thinking of is the final apostasy after the rapture. The apostatizing or the falling away. Would you agree that with what you've mentioned in relation to the destruction of Eve?
Not exactly, because that would be before the manifestation of the man of sin. In other words, I take it that the woman will be riding on the beach during the tribulation, whereas none of our brethren seem to think that.
Could I ask Mr. McShane for you, do you make any distinction between the religious side, the judgment on the religious aspect, and the judgment on the commercial aspect?
Oh, I just think that they're all the same. When the commercial runs into the religious, because the whole religious system was really a commercial thing at the same time. I don't draw the distinction on our religion.
Why then, Mr. McShane, do the
I'm not objecting.
Why then do you have this double messenger from heaven? We haven't just touched on this point. Why really haven't got an answer to that question?
The answer in that point is that in chapter 17, the judgment is seen from her being overthrown by the beast of the king. Whereas in this passage, except the beast didn't exist, it's entirely directly from God, and therefore it's a fresh message, looking at the judgment coming from the divine standpoint.
Yes, it's John learning.
No mention of the beast in this chapter.
Does that not emphasize the fact that this is not religious? Neither is it emphatically political. It's basically commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to suggest, brother, if Rome were destroyed at this present moment, the stock markets of earth would scarcely recognize it, and it would make very, very little difference in the commerce of earth. I submit, brethren, this is far, far wider than limiting either to papal Rome or anything that's centered in Rome. This is that which originated from Babylon. And in Zechariah 5, the woman with the ephod takes that back to where it came from, sets it on its own base, and here you have a commercial system that arises consequent upon the destruction of the religious that brings men into the same kind of slavery, and it has a center and it has a city, and God is right.
And is that not the principle of Genesis chapter 10? Is that not the very first seeds of a confederated link up to make us a name, lest we be scattered among the nations?
I think we will allow you to see that what started religiously developed commercially and into a world power. And some may think that there's little consequence in this system commercially. I believe we would be amazed if we knew the revenues, the interest, the commercial interests of this dreadful system. When Christendom is united, it will likely be one of the strongest finance houses in the world. Many of you brethren are driving cars, and the undertaking is financed by this system. Some of you have these wee Hummel figures in your homes. That's another of our enterprises. The distilleries, the breweries, for investments, for commercial interests. But what I want you to notice, and we're going to get into it soon, is her relationship with earth and the dependence of kings on her for their power in her corruption. The effect that she has on the nations of earth in her deceit and in her intoxication, and the effect that she has on the merchants of earth and the mariners of earth, for all her possessions are worldly and material, in contrast to the true church that may not have much in this earth, but those rich have its treasures in heaven.
I think that's the opening remark, going back to Matthew chapter 13.
Yes.
Your parable. Also, the third and fourth letter, the letters of Pergamus and Thyatira. I judge that you see the mustard tree that was sown in the present age was absent during the period of the mystery, the kingdom in its mystery in a form. That seed only was sown and only took root in the present age.
Yes.
You evidently see that tree as depicting parabolic, what we have in Revelation 17 and 18. Finally, with the birds lodging in the branches, and here again, the birds, the habitation of the unclean birds. Similarly, the parable is not putting meal into the leaven, but putting leaven into the meal. That is viewed from a kingdom standpoint. In the two letters, it's viewed from an ecclesiastical standpoint. And I'm in 100% agreement with you that this system is ecclesiastical. And I believe that whom is foretold by the woman Jezebel in Revelation chapter 3. Furthermore, we have Eve taken up as a type of the true church. And I believe that just in contrast to that, that Jezebel is taken up as the symbol of the fall. With regard to the symbol, I think that we can see a change of figure and symbolism that is used both of the true church and of the fall. We have, for instance, the body of Christ now, the virgin body, if you will, to be the bride by and and finally seen as the city of our God. If you look into an ordinary dictionary concerning Christendom, you'll be told this, that it is the body of Christians upon the earth. So that Christendom essentially is that which professes to be Christian. The body of Christians upon the earth, there's the body idea. Then we have the symbol again of the false bride, the woman, and finally seen as a city, so you have three similar terms used.
Our Ferguson, if the city represents a religious system, in your judgment, what do the commodities represent?
I thought I had committed myself on that, that everything that's linked with this system is earthly, drawn from the earth, involving the merchants of this earth, involving the mariners in their trading, and the only thing that I saw of value associated with her were the souls of men that she has brought to their eternal ruin. And that's why I thought so much material, all of an earthly character. Her vestments, her statues, her buildings, her, all that show outwardly of pomp and wealth that has deceived the nations. It's all earthly and will finish in her judgment.
Since we have a mystical city, trading in literal commodities, trading literally in the souls of men,
Is that so?
Well, you have to look on it as a city to give that idea of a center for commerce. They'll ask you, what's things like in the city? They're not thinking about the tramways or the tarmacadam or anything like that. They're thinking about what's the financial world like, and they refer to it as the city. And I take it that the symbol of the city suits in with that material wealth that is hers.
Allowing for the untold wealth of the Church of Rome. The Church of Rome embraces over 500 million of people. There's over 4,000 million of people in the world. And in no way, in my judgment, would all the nations that have vessels on the oceans, and all the mariners and all the merchants, be needed to contribute to Rome, nor could they be sustained by Rome. It is my judgment that what is in Revelation chapter 18, if we see a concentration of it in the Roman system, is a bigger thing, something more vast, and something more comprehensive. That's my judgment.
It might surprise you at the small minority that controls the wealth of the world. And I judge when I have tried to keep myself clear of this term Christendom, because that would bring me into a further debate. But when the false religious system unite, and the only terms that they will unite, Cardinal Manning says, is when the bow to the visible vicar of Christ, when the bow under her sway again, that's the terms that will unite. I believe it will be brought into a strong financial structure. However, now I think we should take a look now at... Sorry.
Look this down, Paul, the Republic of of that mighty system which has been guilty of false revelation against Christ.
I believe the whole institution will be confiscated and lose its power, and it comes down never to rise again. It got a mighty blow in the Reformation, but it'll be something different here because it'll never recover. Now, could we take a look at the effects of this system on the nations? You'll notice that she commits her fornication with the kings of the earth. That is, she corrupts the monarchs.
May I go back a moment, Sam, to the previous verse? And could you tell us what exactly is meant by this? Babylon fell, and is become. And there are three terms used, the demon, and the spirit, and the unclean and hateful verse. In what way could a system become the location for that?
Well, as you know, the term there become is the word that's used for so it seemed good in thy sight. And in fact, in this same book, in chapter 16, verse 18, there were voices. There was a great earthquake. There was, not since men were upon the earth, where was, it's the same word. It's which it's revealed to be, or showed to be, the habitation. It's not something becoming as something manifested to be the habitation of demons.
Well, it's the ordinary word that describes what God does, and does it suddenly. And it seems to me that here you have this described a situation on earth as a consequence of the fall of Babylon, where physically are confined these three things: the demon, which is their moral identification, and the spirit, their physical, and the bird, their symbolic. He's simply saying, in my judgment, that back to a particular place on earth for their incarceration during the millennial reign go those things that have corrupted earth in their various ways throughout time.
Well, then you wouldn't put this system out of existence at all.
It says fallen, and it becomes the area, the site becomes, as the smoke of our torment. I can't get past the fact that there's going to be a place on earth that's marked by smoke, and Joel tells us of the pillars of smoke that follow Armageddon. And thus you have identified, in my judgment, a place where the judgment of God has been signally seen and becomes a cage for all the forces that have polluted mankind.
So I'm suggesting that this would be a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 13. In other words, really, we haven't seen the true and full fulfillment of what is recorded in Isaiah 13, just as we've done.
I think so.
Well, will you please notice that both in Isaiah chapter 13, is it, and Jeremiah chapter 51, that when it's dealing with the overthrow of Babylon there, it's the Mede that is mentioned. Now, I'm not going into those portions to look at that, but it is the Mede that is mentioned as the instrument that will come upon them.
In Isaiah 13, it's linked up with the name of the Lord.
Yes.
So that goes beyond the Mede by far.
It could be, but you can't exclude the Mede out of it.
So we make a distinction between the fall of Babylon and the stripping of her political power. And I'm not too happy to say that all these satanic agencies are incarcerated. I'm taking issue with Jim Sam.
Yes.
The word can be a stronghold. And for me, it seems better that if they come in an underground way, the stronghold of every satanic agency, she's stripped of her political power, but she's now wielding greater power and has become the stronghold of all that is satanic.
Well,
except that, Brother David, if you change your word, if you can show me how you can change the word cage into stronghold.
So the second two words can be hold.
Yes, you can make them. The first it is
cage, and the second two words are stronghold.
I know now it's there to come up the judgment in the Old Testament, but to put it maybe in a crude way, I thought it's the lid taken off the pot here. And we're getting a look into the awful corruption that's found in the system. Now, having said that, I think we must ask you to go on to verse number 3 and to see the mighty influence on the monarchs, on the merchants, wax rich through the abundance of her delicacies, and the intoxication of the nations. Do you agree with my terms there that it corrupts the leaders of the nations? It deceives men through her intoxication, and it ensnares the merchants by her wealth and merchandise. And even this delicacy and all this, I think maybe could be a strengthened word. It's the abundance of her luxuries. She'll spread everywhere before the souls of men, and give them all the abundance of wealth and her luxuries and wantonness, just to bring them into her snare, that she might capture them and enrapture them and get them so excited in their minds that she lead them on with her to her doom. Just a moment, Brother Mirna, there's a man who will come to you.
This Babylon has fallen. I took that was the time of judgment anticipated. But here, this great Babylon has fallen, and has become the habitation of demons and so on. I took this as our fall morally, distinct into the lowest form of degradation. I took that as a moral form.
Yes, and you're backslidden out of verse 2, though. I think this is a chapter that gives us the detail of the destruction that comes upon the system, and John learns that even though human agents may be used, it's the hand of God, for it's strong is the Lord God that judgeth her. Brother Moore.
I'm looking at this chapter
with
great interest.
How far would it take this phenomenon to serve the kings and the merchants and the nations? Because this is true. earth.
It does not include the whole earth because the professing Christian world does not control much in the eastern realm. But her influence is worldwide. And her wealth is all material. It's all of earth. I think that's where the emphasis is laid, that it's all of earth, and anything that she possesses, even though it causes men to wonder and it ensnares men and it corrupts kings, it's all of a material earthly nature. And she has nothing of spiritual value. In the eye of God, she's just a corrupt harlot.
Where the Antichrist sets himself up and demands that all religions of every type be put down. Now that will only include Christendom, or do you think of Buddhism and Mohammedanism, that now is involved in the Western nations, the mosques in London, and the many other places that are Vatican confirmed.
What professes to be Christian has brought a lot that is pagan into our ritual. But to apostatize, you must profess. And going back to our Matthew chapter 13, it's the kingdom of heaven. And I take it that it's that which claims to acknowledge the authority of heaven turns to be totally apostate, and it's that which has made a profession of Christ that turns away from that. Now, and by the way, the deceiver there is in the tabernacle of God, the sanctuary of God, and I think that would bring you to Jerusalem, and I wouldn't just bring it in here, because I think you have to see distinct from the Antichrist or the false prophet, whatever you want to call them, this religious system.